I know things you never see. You never see someone taking a shit while running at full speed.
Come on, Key, get rid of some of them turds in the shit box.
Welcome to the Bathroom Break Podcast with me, Rab himself. This week on the Bathroom Break Podcast, my guest is the incredible rock drummer Jess Margera from the band CKY. They recently came out with an album called The Phoenix, which is available everywhere, and they just came out with a brand new EP called Too Precious to Kill. Four songs on there, including Bite It, You Scum. Hello and welcome to the Bathroom Break Podcast with me, your host, Rab himself. Today I have a lovely guest.
How you doing?
Mr. Jess Margera, or as I call him, Queginald Denny.
Where did that even start? From the LA riots?
Yeah.
That's how long ago that
yeah. Reginald Denny got pulled out of his car and like beaten half to death.
And there's that great Bill Hicks skit. It's like, dude, just tap on the pedal.
Yeah, yeah.
Through them, man. Look,
you run them right over and get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, you're in a truck, they're on foot. I think I see a way out of this.
Fuck, I love Bill Hicks, dude.
I know, like, I miss him, man.
God damn, that shit is so funny.
He's been dead for so long, and it's like he's like comedy specials are still relevant.
Yeah, you know? Like, dude, I go on benders from time to time and just watch every goddamn thing he has for like days straight and don't talk to anybody because I'm like, this fucking guy is genius.
Yeah, he's like talking about the Iraq war for the first one.
Yeah.
But it almost relates to the shit we're going through now.
Oh, like, totally. I know. It's so relevant, man. Yeah. Like, it brings up a great point because, like, I feel like you have been such an influence on comedians that I've watched and learned about. And at a young age, you showed me George Carlin. Mm. And I
have Phil and Ape to thank for that. They raised me on that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, and it's the best because, like, that guy is genius as well. And I feel like he was like the person that said it's okay to fucking question everything.
Oh yeah, dude.
You know, and that's like, I feel like I've lived my life like that since I
feel
saw that.
So like like fortunate that I grew up with that mentality, like, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that, sad to say, that was kind of like my religion, but
yeah,
it worked out.
Dude, it was totally mine as well. It was like, fuck, this dude just is pointing out all of the shit that like I'm thinking and it's just making sense. And I feel like that's any great comedian is
like
that way.
Just take the absurdity of like reality and just make fun of it and question what's right and what's wrong and
hell yeah. Well, it's perfect. And then that led to the 18x lax, and I always yeah. I always tell that story because I'm like, dude, we're sitting there watching George Carlin and that bit comes up like, I know things you never see. You never see a man taking a shit running full speed. And I still remember you being like, hey, Rab, would you do that? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, you know? Hell yeah, man. Like, it's something that George has never seen. Let's make it something that he's seen.
Yeah, yeah. And that was one of the coolest things is he actually found out about it.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like,
and
damn.
If he was a dick, the move would have been like, cease and desist on the footage because we use a clip of him.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, dude, that's amazing. Yeah. Like, I'm so stoked you guys actually did that.
Yeah. It was so fucking good, man. I
remember Phil and Ape taking me and Bam to see George Carlin. I think Bam was like 10, I was 11. Like, and the crowd was just looking at Phil and Ape like, you monsters. Like, are you bringing your little kid to that?
Yeah. And like, they're like, it's about time they knew.
Yeah, totally, man. I'm so thankful they did that.
Oh, dude, fuck yeah. It's so good. Like, it's funny when you say like 10 11, because we met way back. I mean, I met Bam first. We were in, I think it was second grade. Mm. So we were just 7 years old or whatever, and we met through, we always joke because it was like, hey, you got a bowl cut, I got a bowl cut too. and then all of a sudden we were friends.
Hey, it's the early 90s, that's the thing, right? Yeah. we're bowl cut buddies.
Yeah. Shit, this was the late 80s. This is like the mid 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And I always remember because your mom was a hairdresser back then, and she gave us the bowl cuts.
Oh, yeah, because that was what everyone wanted.
Yeah.
She owned a salon, and she's like, this is what every kid gets. Yeah. And we're like, okay, cool.
All right, let's do it. And then they'll cut, like, a little X in the back for Team X.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, remember that?
It could have been way worse. That was the time of glam rock. We could have had perms.
Fuck, my little sister had a perm with a bowl cut at one point because she decided to cut her hair off, and then my mom's like, oh, okay, you're getting a bowl cut and a perm. It's freaking awful. But yeah, some hairstyles throughout the year for sure.
Yeah.
Dude, but yeah, it just made me think back way back to, like, you know, the house across the street from the shit plant.
Yeah.
And you know, there's skate ramps and everybody's in Team X and then you could just smell hot shit in the summertime.
When it was humid, it was especially gnarly.
Just a nice ripe turd.
Yeah, and it didn't, like, it wasn't that way until maybe, like, when we moved in when I was like a kid.
Yeah.
There wasn't many people, so, like, you wouldn't even notice it.
Yeah.
And then, like, around the late 80s, early 90s, when more and more development started coming in and more poop was happening.
Like, more asses were just shitting poop.
I'd just go out and get the mail and be like, Jesus Christ.
Dude, oh, man, it was like, you thought about, like, you know, like, people talk about the smell of, like, a dead, rotting body, and you're like, you could get away with a dead, rotting body in that shit plant. You could just dump it in there and no one would notice.
Yeah. I mean, when Phil and Ape bought the house in 79, I guess it was, I'm sure you didn't even notice it. It was like, what is that over there? What are they making, plastic or something? Like,
something else.
Yeah. Cut to 10 years later, 89, it's like, okay, wow, that's terrible.
Yeah, dude. And there was like a gun range behind it or something. There's this, like, cops, like, trying to practice their fucking aim.
There was just gunshots and poop smell.
It was just a hell
of a way to grow up.
Yeah. Dude, but it was so good because your dad, you know, like, had built the ramps in the backyard and skateboarding was always just a huge part of what was going on there. And
then attached to the ramp was the little workshop, like, where you could set up your skateboard or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It was like a two-story, like fort, like team, like skate shop sort of thing.
Well, Phil worked for, like, some tuxedo company for years, and then the guy sold the company, and then Phil was just like, well, now what do I do?
He
just drove us around to skate parks and built us ramps, like,
dude, hell yeah.
Like, trying to find a new job.
I always remember the banana boat, like, the sticker mobile.
Yeah.
I was talking to Bam a little bit about it. It was so rad. You put, like, seven kids in the back of that thing.
It was like a clown car. Yeah. You know, like, it was a pretty big Buick, but, like, you shouldn't be able to fit 14 kids in
there. Yeah, for real. And, dude, just going to all these random ramps all over the place and finding stuff, it was so fucking fun.
Yeah.
I just remember, like, childhood just being so awesome. And,
like,
and
cheap skates and all that. Like,
yeah.
Tom Boyle.
Tom Boyle, and, like, yeah. He fucking
Who was the
it.
Dude that was on Toxic that would, like, hit the rafters on the vert ramp? That guy was amazing.
Yeah, I can't remember. Like, I always think of Riesinger because he was, like, up the street from me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude.
Derek? Something? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what sucks. I just turned 40. I can't remember names.
Yeah. It was, like, thinking way back to that time. But, dude, I love it. And Ape and Phil just made, like, childhood so fun because you'd be out skateboarding and going to find shit. And then you get home and Phil just made some awesome apple pie or Ape just made some, like, some amazing meal. And it was just such a good community and tons of fun people. And, like, what was it? What was it, One Ball, or who was it? There was, like, One Ball somebody. Like, I remember there's just kids around the neighborhood, and, like, Phil would give them all nicknames.
One Ball.
Like, some kid had one nut or something. And it was
so that,
like,
was just his
name.
Yeah,
yeah. But, yeah, and then there was, like, Jay and Tim, I guess, was across the street. And, and fucking Fana was right up the street.
Yeah.
With the bonfires, like, and like, I just remember going up there and be, like, playing Dungeons and Dragons and with Chris.
D&D. Man,
yeah,
that's like that was our version of Fortnite for those of you listening who are young.
Yeah Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
but man, like, so like, I wanted to kind of hear a little bit about, like, how you got into drums. Because, like, you skateboarded as well. Bam skateboarded. And, like, he messed around with a guitar and you had drums. But it seemed like as time went, like, his focus really became on skateboarding. Your focus really became on drumming.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It really hurt when I fell because I'm I've always been a foot taller than him, and
yeah.
He would just get up and it's fine, but when I fell, I was like, okay, I'm done for the day,
dude. Yeah.
And then after a few broken bones and stuff, I was like, I've had enough of this. And then it was also like very discouraging going skating with like Maldonado and Kerry Getz and Bam and like all these dudes that are amazing pros.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I can't keep up with these guys.
Fuck, I know. Dude, I remember going down to Love Park and like Ricky Iola was like this
Stevie
badass.
Stevie Williams
dude.
Yeah. And all those dudes. Matt Reason. I felt like a very tiny fish in a big pond.
Yes. It's like, I just have a board. I don't even really ride it. But you could like do like double kick flips, like, and like do shit that like was
I think I just landed one on tour. Somebody dared me to try it.
Yeah.
At a, like a VIP. We did these like signings. Like sometimes people like, you know, like we offer like, oh, you get this t-shirt and you get a blah, blah, blah. And you get to come hang out before the show. And, you know, and, somebody brought a skateboard and they're like, bust a double flip. And it took me three tries, but I landed it.
Fuck, that's awesome.
It's been
three
years.
Tries and you got it. That's
I've actually been getting a little more back into skating because my son London is getting into it. So it makes me want to do it again.
Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome.
But now I have to like think about like, should I drop in on this vert? Because this could mean the tour's canceled.
Yeah, yeah. One broken wrist and that's the end of the fucking job for the year.
Right.
Dude, so, okay, so then you're like, you know, at that point, like, just like still skateboarding, but really just focusing on drumming and like it. And then when did you like get into a band? Like how did that all kind of happen?
Well, I mean, I definitely hung out with the Hannahs, like, maybe a little more than Bam.
Yeah.
And Chris was just an amazing guitar player. And he always, his room was just like where magic happened, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'd be hanging out with Mark and then Chris would be playing like Pink Floyd Animals or
Led
Zeppelin Presence or something. And I was just like, I need to know what this is, you know?
Yeah.
So I have Chris Hanna to thank for like introducing me to like Bowie, Lou Reed, AC/DC, Pink Floyd, Zeppelin, you know, like,
hell yeah.
And yeah, I just got really into it. And then when he started playing guitar and getting like really good at it, then it just made me want to jam with him. And like, you know, I knew a little bit about drumming from my uncles, you know, like, Matt and Dan, well, Shitbird. And
everyone's like, who's Matt? Shitbird.
He taught me how to play drums when I was like super young. And then, you know, we'd always go over to my grandmom's house. And then he was at school. And then his like pristine Yamaha glam rock 9-piece double bass kit would just be sitting there gleaming. And I'm like, oh, I get to play it all day and he doesn't get to yell at me over it. You know?
Oh, yeah. It's like Garth and fucking Wayne's World.
It's like Step Brothers.
Yeah.
I put my balls on your drum set, Shipper.
Yeah. Just dragging my balls on your drums while you're at school. Yeah. Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. Because I always remember Danny and Matt just being musically talented and Ape like being artistic and like all of that kind of stuff like was just an influence, you know, obviously on you guys and on me as well and all the friends, I feel like. And I was saying that to Bam that it just felt like an incubator of like just creativity, like where it was encouraged to like play drums loud late at night. Who gave a shit?
You know? Totally. We would just mess around and record, you know, little jams and stuff. And then Ryan Dunn came to town and he's like, I'll sing in your band. And it was like, cool. Like, are you a singer? No, not really. But
but he just had the confidence and that's all you fucking
that's
needed.
That's all you goddamn need, dude.
Yeah.
You
know?
And then,
that was
the first band ever.
That was Soul Roach?
Yeah. And we lost the hell out of the battle of the band because we were terrible.
Yeah. But fuck, you had the confidence to do it, man. I feel like that's what it's all about.
Oh, stage presence-wise, like, we were the best in, by far.
Yeah.
But, like, musically, no. But unfortunately, the judges really listened to the musicianship, and, which we were lacking.
Yeah, so. Unfortunately, they were paying attention to that part of it.
Yeah.
Dude, that's fucking hilarious. But so then time went by, and then you started playing. Did you do another band before?
Yeah, I was in a band with actually the Boyles. Like, they're still going, man. They're like a punk band. If you're into punk, I would suggest check them out. They were on Relapse for a while. And then they did like the Flyers theme or something.
Yeah.
And that's like what they're best known for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They still play like,
dude, that pays.
Sometimes when the Flyers come out, they play the Boyles, Flyers song. I forget the name of it, but
dude, that's fucking great.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like a good thing to have, and then you can just go on and play what you want.
We weren't called the Boyles yet, but it was the Boyles.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah. And then was it? Because I always get confused. Foreign Objects and then Oil, or was it Oil and then Foreign Object? Or?
Yeah. After the Boyles thing. Yeah, that's when I was in math class and I met Darren, and we started Foreign Objects. And
yeah, okay.
You know, like the musicianship, we were starting to get good.
Yeah.
But there was like growly, screamy vocals, which in 1994 or 95 wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like now every band does that, but like back then.
Yeah.
So again, we did the Battle of the Bands and lost.
Yeah.
But this time the judges.
Better. Yeah.
The judges were like, the music was amazing, but what's up with the vocals? Like,
yeah, yeah. It's just like undiscovered numbers and color. Yeah. Yeah, well, fuck it. I mean, it was awesome. But I remember you guys like practicing in the basement at the house across from the shit plant.
Yeah, and in the poured concrete 100-year-old basement.
Yeah, dude, it was like, I mean, it was gnarly down there. You know, you like, someone was asking, I was on the Franz podcast, and they were asking about like, what was the crazy thing? And I was like, oh, I got caught fucking a baseball glove by Bam.
The basement.
Yeah, yeah, in that sick-ass basement.
It's like a cellar from a dungeon.
Yeah, and like how down the there, like, fuck were you turned on? Like, yeah. But I just knew that I could get away from everybody down there, and there was some fucking baseball glove oil.
I love the smell of must.
Yeah, it really just does something for me.
Yeah, it gets me horny.
But, dude, that basement was like some amazing shit came out of that basement. I mean, I just remember, like, you know, Bam getting up there and just like jumping on a mic and just making up bullshit, and like the Christmas songs would come from that, and just a lot of really fun times. And I just felt like I was a groupie of your band at that point, just sitting there on the side, like back on some random like fucking piece of siding or something, like while I'm sitting there listening to you guys playing, and your ears are blown out.
We filmed a lot of cool stuff down there too. Remember the when we got the dry ice and
yeah, yeah.
Dico was like a mad scientist.
Dude, it's so good. And like, yeah, and I mean, just so many good memories of that. But I feel like it's cool. Like, you always hear of like a spot like that. It's like the dungeon or like the fucking cave that like cool shit came out of. And that was definitely
most
that.
Most people have a regular basement, but we had a legit dungeon.
Yeah. So good. So then that kind of shifted into Oil, which was the band, like basically you and Darren, and then you guys added
Ryan Bruni.
Yeah.
From, where the hell did we meet him? I think we all worked at UPS together or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was the bassist, right?
Really tough when we had a gig. We all had to pretend to be sick at the same time. And our boss was like, are you kidding me? Like,
clearly, you're playing.
And then we got like more creative. Like, oh, we were all driving and the car broke down. So our boss was just, he would yell at us, but it was so hard to take him seriously because he looked exactly like white Richard Pryor.
So you mean Gene Wilder?
So whenever he was yelling, I just pictured like Richard Pryor stand up, but he's white.
Yeah.
And then it's
like,
was,
motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like ridiculous. Yeah. You couldn't take him seriously.
Oh man, that's fucking good. So okay, so the three of you and you were starting to gig at that point. Like I remember like Pontiac Grill, like places mm-hmm. like that playing in Philly and
shit, man. I was like 17 and hey, is there any money for the gig tonight? No, but you can have a case of beer.
All right.
I'm 17.
Yeah, and the funny thing is back then none of us really drank beers or whatever.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, so that wasn't a bonus at that point.
Yeah, I was just like, all right, I'll give it to my uncle or something.
Yeah. I'd prefer money though.
Yeah.
But but yeah, so then that led then you go on to CKY. And kind of like just take me through like I guess what happened there was I can't remember was Ryan Bruni a part of CKY or he
yeah he did Warped Tour 99 with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was it a three piece then?
No, we had Chad by then.
Chad came in. Chad Ginsburg came mm-hmm. in as lead guitar.
Yeah.
And then Ryan was still bass player.
Yeah, basically, like, okay, so we did Foreign Objects. We did the metal technical thing. You know, people had trouble with the vocals. So Oil was our knee-jerk reaction to that.
Yeah.
Where we tried to write, like, you know, 90s alternative rock songs.
And, yeah.
And it just wasn't us at all. Like,
yeah.
It was, like, our version of selling out, like, because we just got so sick of people, like, I don't understand this heavy, growling metal thing.
And so you're just playing it like this, guys?
Yeah. We were doing gigs around, and, like, we did get gigs with, like, you know, Marcy Playground and, like, all those, like, terrible.
Ask like 60 candy.
And our big gig that we got was G Love and Special Sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And but it just didn't go anywhere. Like, we were just playing around Philly to, like, handfuls of people. And
yeah.
And then...
And you just felt like there wasn't, like, heart in it because you just weren't psyched
on it? Yeah, we just weren't into it. We were just trying to, like, make people happy and, like, try and be in a band that people might be into.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah, and then CKY, like, when we wrote, like, Volume 1 stuff, like, that was just us not caring anymore. Like, we just want to make what we want to hear. Like,
yeah.
And if people are into it, great. And if they're not, great. Like, I just want to make... a rock record that has metal elements and rock and you know, stuff like that.
And just like taking like the strengths of you and Darren and Chad and
yeah, Ryan, that was like, the thing. Like we went into Groundhog. It's funny. We played a gig with some band in Northeast Philly. They were called Surge, and they were like, this is like when Korn came out, and that was starting to happen, and. They sounded kind of like a Korn kind of band, but the production was just unbelievable. Like, they just had, like, this little demo tape, and we'd put it in the van on the ride home from the gig, and it's like, where did they record this? Like, this sounds amazing, you know?
Yeah.
So we, oh, man. I forgot to turn my ringer off.
Nice.
So,
hello.
Yeah. So, We listened to that Surge tape, and we're like, we have to find out where they recorded this. Like, this sounds like, you know, top-notch, like, Sound City-style production.
Yeah, just
like,
yeah.
And then we found out it was the Groundhog in Bucks County. And then that's when we met Chad. And then we could just tell immediately, like, this guy's on another level. Like, you know. Every record we did, like, we went to Studio 4, and then we did a couple other studios, and, like, no one wanted to experiment or do anything. It's just like, yeah, just set up dry mics and just play, like, you know?
Yeah.
Chad was the exact opposite. Like, let's get these aerosol cans and spray them in.
That's fucking rad.
Yeah, like, just trying everything. Like, let's put a mic in the goddamn closet and see how it sounds, you know?
Yeah,
like,
that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and that's why Volume 1 sounds the way it does. It's just like experimentation of just awesome, you know. It's,
dude, that's so good because, I mean, and it was such a raw, like, record that you just, like, everything kind of sounds different. Like, all the songs are different, but awesome and unique. And I always know through the years of, like, hearing, like, albums of yours when you're, like, you guys are working on them. In my mind, like, because so a lot of musicians will hear it and they're like, oh, you know, it's not, like, mastered yet. It's not this. Like, don't, you know, think about it like this. I'm like, I like that raw-ass shit. You know, like,
for certain bands that I do, still to this day, I'm like, it doesn't need to get mastered. Yeah. All it's going to do is flatten it.
Like, yeah, and like some of that raw, and I feel like Volume 1 was just so fucking raw like that it's just rad as hell. You know?
Plus, I mean, just it was like the mixing board at the studio was called a big board by Langley, but Langley was owned by Neve, which is like, if you're into recording at all, like, Neve is like the Rolls Royce of recording, you know?
Yeah.
So it just sounded amazing, and it was just good mics and everything, and we really got lucky with that, and like, back in the 90s, to do an album that sounds like that would cost $50,000, but, like, you know, we got away with doing it for, like, peanuts, basically.
Yeah. So Chad, you met Chad when you're up in that area, and then it was, like, instantly, like, you're part of the band?
Yeah, like, he just really dug what we were doing, and then he was like, I'll play guitar. And Chad was, like, the local rock star, you know? Like, his band had a deal with Sony, so we're like, oh, shit, Chad, like...
Rudy and Blitz.
He digs us. Yeah. He wants to play guitar for us. Like, this is crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's fucking awesome.
He took the band to the next level, you know? Like, we didn't really know how to record or what we were doing. We could write some cool songs, but, like, he was, like, a producer, you know? Like, he...
Yeah.
He's like, don't do that. Do that. You know, like,
That's
you're
awesome.
Playing this part too long. Cut it in half. You know, shit like that.
Yeah, dude, that's fucking rad. And it just the whole way it kind of came together. And I feel like then it like plays on everybody's strengths.
Yeah.
That's cool. Basically, Chad is like a like legit producer, knows what he's doing.
Yeah, we never really had any, but like producer is for the longest time, I didn't even know what that really entailed, you know? Like,
yeah.
You basically kind of rent like a dictator to tell you, like, he kind of listens to the songs as like an outsider, and then basically said, like, he finds the strengths and the weaknesses, and then he's, you know, tells you, like, you're beating that part to death, or like, you know, just
tighten that up,
or dude, that riff is sick, keep going, like, do another four bars of it, like, because the riff is awesome, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So that, I mean, I feel like that's just rad, because then, okay, so basically the band came together at that point, and it's like, now it's Ryan Bruni's on bass, Chad's lead guitar, Darren is rhythm and vocals, and your drums and vocals too, like, because you do backing vocals and
on Volume 1 I did a little bit of backing vocal stuff.
I mean, like I always wondered, because of the riffs that Darren plays, like, you're like, that seemed like a lead guitar thing, but it's like a rhythm guitar, right? I mean, like, I guess, is that because, like, in metal, that's sort of like those riffs are.
Yeah, there wasn't really many solos, like,
right?
Yeah, like, the riff was more, I don't know,
like, that's the rhythm.
Like, a good example is when we put Volume 1 out and we finally got like a really good, you know, we were on Volcom and then we got picked up by Island Def Jam. And then they were like, we were like, yeah, 96 Koi Bear Bings has to be the first single or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were like, like, it's a guitar. There's not even a chorus. Like, there's no singing. The chorus is a guitar riff.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah,
you
know? Like, well, we are.
Yeah. And they wouldn't put it out as a single. They were
that's hilarious.
Career suicide if you try to.
If you're
lucky enough to get a major label record deal and you hear career suicide, it either means you're onto something awesome, or it does suck.
Yeah. One or the other. But for you guys, that I feel like is one of the songs that everyone knows.
I mean, to this day, like, you know, everyone, you know, it's been 20 years and everyone.
Yeah.
There's memes about it.
Dude, well, that's awesome. And so that came out of, you know, like those sessions up there in Bucks County at the Groundhog.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's, yeah. So, okay. So then when did Vern enter the picture?
Let's see.
Vern Zebrowski.
Warped Tour 2000 was his first thing.
Okay, yeah. He was the bassist for CKY at that point, and friend of Chad's?
Yeah. Okay. Ryan Bruni wasn't cutting it. Like, you know, he was just... It was pretty obvious me, Chad, and Darren were on a fucking mission from hell to, like, do music. And
he was kind of
like, oh, but I'm, like, going to real estate school and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, man.
Yeah, because I know him. I know him, but I know his cousin pretty well. And his cousin is, like, super dedicated to, doing music forever. But, he had told me that Ryan was, like, kind of like he's like an accountant or something, like he was like ready to do something
which
else.
Is fine,
yeah,
know? Like
I think it's hard too though, because when you think about it, it's like to commit is pretty risky.
Oh yeah,
you know, and
it's terrifying.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, I guess anybody could say, well, dude, if you're at the Warped Tour at that point, like, you should fucking commit. Your band's doing something.
Right.
But still, you think, like, I know for me, even with like Jackass stuff, when Jackass was happening, it's like, you never knew that show was going to take off or anything. So I'm like,
there's
in
no
college,
guarantees. It's like getting struck by lightning or winning the lottery.
Exactly.
To make a living off it.
Yeah. So I'm at school and it's like, I better stay in college. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on
if
with this.
If this doesn't work out, I better have something to do. After.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I could relate to that, kind of being on the fence, sort of like, no, this is awesome, but.
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't know.
But unfortunately, it's the kind of thing that's like, you're all in, man. Like, if you want to actually do it, like, you're not turning down any tours because you have classes or whatever. You have to do it. Like,
yeah. Well, that brings up funny points that we were talking about earlier. Is that when I had classes, I was all in anyway, and I'd get caught up. And, dude, like the fucking story you were telling
earlier.
Yeah,
when you came to the Pittsburgh gig. So Chris was going to Shippensburg University. But if we were playing anywhere near, of course he's going to show up and throw down. So, but
I love that you called me Chris, because people were probably like, who the fuck is Chris?
Oh, yeah, who's Chris?
Rabbit boy.
So, you show up and you're like, yeah, man, I'm ready to rock. But the thing is, I have, like, finals tomorrow. So there's, like, no way that I can hang.
I'm ready,
like,
to rock.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, as soon as you guys are done your set, like, I got to get my car and roll back to Shippensburg. And you even knew. Like, you were like, Jess, man, like, if you see me, like, going for it, like, I don't care what it takes. Like, get me in the car and to get a ride back.
Yeah. I love that I put that responsibility on you.
Yeah.
Like, you're fucking playing a show and doing all, like, you know, and out there partying.
And it's sound check. It's 5 or 6 o'clock and we're both stone sober. It's like, oh, no problem, Chris.
Sounds
I'll
great.
Definitely get that done for you. Cut to, like, after the gig, and then beers are flowing and everything. Oh. And then you're in the back lounge of the bus, like, passed out in a little, like, cozy little cocoon.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, Chris, man, you gotta go, like, your boy's rolling, like, you can't miss, you gotta go back.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck you, Jess. I was like, no, man, like, for real. And then your buddy's like, yeah, come on, man, get it. So I start, like, picking you up to, like, get you in the car. Then you just start swinging.
Jesus.
Like, legit tried to
drunk.
Fight me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then I was like,
lay off me.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not doing this. So,
well, you're on your own, pal.
So you just wake up the next morning in D.C., because that's where our next gig was.
Fuck, dude. I remember, like, getting, like, so fucking drunk. And, like, I sort of remember being on the bus and fighting with you, like, no, I'm just going to stay. Like, I still want to party. And, like, it's like, I'm already, like, passed out.
Yeah,
like,
you weren't even. You were just, like, really cozy.
It was already over.
I felt bad because you looked, like, great.
Yeah,
there. Like, you were in your, like, a happy dreamland.
Yeah,
and
I
didn't want to be the guy to wake you up and, like, tell you, hey, you have a test. Go
back to reality. Yeah, exactly. Like, the fucking party was over. If I had just gotten that car, everything would have been fine.
Yeah.
But I didn't. couldn't. And I woke up and I remember being in a daze, like on the tour bus, just waking up like, wait, hold on. And I go outside and Hannah and Shipbird are there like unpacking like merch off the bottom of the bus. And
hey,
I'm
guys,
like,
if the bus could just swing around to where my car is, that'd be dude, your car's 3 hours away.
Yeah, because I'm like looking at it like, wait, what the fuck? They're unpacking. Like, why aren't they packing it up to get going, you know? And then and then I'm like, yo, Hannah, hey, my van is like, I had this shitty minivan that like you didn't even need a key to start it. Like, and I was like, yeah, just bring me by the van real quick. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like, what? Like, I need to get to my van because I have a test tomorrow. Yeah. And he's like, dude, you're in D.C. I was like, what? Fuck, no, I'm not. I'm like, and I didn't believe it for like 10 minutes. I was literally like talking to Shipper, like, dude, seriously, like, we're really fucking in D.C. right now? He's like, yeah, this isn't the same club that was like, I'm like, oh, and then it all started dawning on me that I'm fucked. Like, because I'm in a different state, you know, right. And
the test starts in 30 minutes and you're 3 hours away.
Yeah, there's no fucking way. Yeah. So I totally missed the test. And I mean, it wasn't the first one as a result
of
being on tour.
Did you get to like retake it later or what?
No.
No.
There was no retaking it because I'm going to like try to come up with some doctor note like, right. Oh, sorry, I was out partying at a rock show last night. Like, I couldn't make it, you know.
I would have given you a pass on that one if you didn't show up. Oh, he's got a test.
Dude, I mean, that was so much of college at that point in time because like I would be out with the band touring or I'd be shooting like Jackass or
Haggard. I still remember when you were filming Haggard and you went back for midterms or something. And you use the car from Haggard.
The shit car with no brakes.
Yeah. So you like you took the test and then you were on the turnpike and then
no, I missed the test.
Oh, you missed.
So like because the way up the fucking dashboard caught on fire. And there was no windshield wipers. There's a cat running around the thing. I slept on the side of the road. And there's like, you know, and I'm like on the side of the turnpike, it literally looks like fucking Michael Myers is out in the goddamn woods, dude. It's fucking hell out there.
Like Midwestern PA.
Yeah. It's like, and then I get there and I was so tired. I'm like, I'll just take a little nap for a minute, just 1 minute, and then I'll get over to the test. And I passed out right through it.
Oh, man.
Missed it. And then I'm driving the car back. And there's no brakes. Like, it's just metal on metal. And so going through the turnpike, it just fucking fully cut out.
The toll booth. The guy, you just go through the toll booth doing, like, 60.
Dude, I was picking up speed going off the off-ramp.
Yeah, because it's, like, downhill.
Yeah. So and I bust through it, and I could only see one, like, two options. One hit the hill, or the other one was hit the guardrail. So then I fucking slammed on the guardrail and just sparked the whole car.
Oh, the hell, you would have went through the windshield.
No, I'd have been fucked. You know, but then I ran back and paid the toll, and it was like, but I missed that fucking test, too. Like, dude, that whole era was, like, just impossible to, like, keep up with. I don't know why the fuck I was even
between
trying to
do touring with our dumb asses and filming with Bam. Like, you can't do college.
And the best part I think of it was, okay, I had this one teacher that was so fucking angry that like he never made it in that world because he was like a communications TV film teacher, and like he hated my guts because like I was
you're on MTV and, and he's like teaching because he couldn't do that.
And so he would like purposely like dock me points every time I wasn't there, this or that. And I'd try to get like a pass and be like, hey man, like I have this opportunity. He's like, nope, not listening to it. And you're like, dude, like this is what you're trying to teach me how to do, and
I'm already there, bro.
And so you just had to fucking take the F's and do that shit because I'm like, I'm not gonna pass up that opportunity, you know. And so I did it, and but dude, so many fucking funny times.
So listen up, Chris, if you were to do what you're already doing that I couldn't do, tell me more. I want to hear yeah. your 2 cents.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know, it was so frustrating. But instead I'll just go on tour and then, like, you know, while on tour, CKY has a show in Florida and they're having like a record premiere party. And dude, I always fucking remember that. Like,
it's so crazy because we just played that place last week.
Oh
yeah, it's
God.
Called something different now, but
dude,
yeah.
So
and I was just having flashbacks.
So that story basically goes as like okay, the band is record release party
is in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah,
I forget the name of the place we were playing, but
yeah,
yeah. So Shitbird was my drum tech at the time, who's also my uncle. He's like, hey, he goes up to the bartender chick. He's like, do you have any like just crappy champagne or something like I could spray on the crowd, you know, like the guy's album's coming out today and we want to really like party, you know? And the bartender's like, absolutely, we have like 10 bottles of this stuff, but it is rancid, like it's like been here since the bar opened and it's just awful. So
ew.
Like if you're spraying it on the crowd, that's fine, but do not under any circumstances drink it.
Dude. Oh,
so Shipper just lines up all 10 bottles on my drum riser. Rab comes out ready to go, just grabs a bottle like without even thinking of it. I saw you grab it and I was just like, hip. Rab, no. You, by that point, you were already climbed up to the top of the speakers of the PA system. The whole crowd is going nuts, cheering you on. So, of course, you have to chug it.
Yeah.
The whole time, I'm like, Rab, please stop. That's so
You're going to be sick. Yeah. And I chug. And as soon as I start chugging the thing, like, it's gross. But, like, you started this drum beat.
Yeah, at that point, I'm like, okay, we're doing this.
Let's get in. And you start this drum beat. And then the whole crowd, because it went from CKY, like this whole chant.
Chug it, rap.
And I'm like, fuck, I guess I got to chug the whole thing. So I drank the fucking whole bottle of champagne that was like, it had this sick, like, sediment in the bottle.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember that, like, going down, like, ugh, that didn't feel right. You know, and I drank the whole goddamn thing, and it's like, yeah, and then you jump into the crowd, and it's, and it was awesome. It started the show well, and it was like, everything was fun, but fuck, did it catch up to me.
I remember, like, finally after the show's done, and you disappeared, of course. And I'm like, where did Rab go? And I just go out to the back alley. Anyway, like, and I just see you, like, it was like Team America vomit. Like a river. Like, how did you even have that much stuff in your stomach?
Like, just still puking, like, like, fuck, dude. Oh my God. It was terrible. It was goddamn terrible. Oh, man. But so many fucking stories of that, like, from being on tour. I remember. I think you guys had like warm up tours at warm up shows at like the Viper Room, like at right when you're ready to like get off. And I've told this story before, but I always fucking laugh at like I went to the Standard afterwards with you guys. Like, so I don't even know if you remember this point, but like you played the Viper Room and then you're staying at the Standard and I'm like, okay, cool, Jess, I'll come back and I'll crash with you. And so you, I think you were staying in another room, but you were like, yo, there's room in Murray's room. So I go in there and I'm all fucked up drunk and I like got naked cause I was too hot and I I'm trying to pass out and like the party's kind of coming, dying down and I'm like ready to pass out. So I'm like naked laying on this bed, like a spare bed in Murray's room. And I remember like, so I pass out for a second and then I wake up and I'm like so fucking thirsty that I'm like, God damn it, I need a drink. I didn't even think about it. Just naked, I get up and go to the fucking water machine. I get a couple bucks. I walk out of the room and I forgot the key and didn't know what room I was in. And then I go get this water and I'm chugging the water and I'm like, oh, I feel so much better. And like I'm just standing in the hallway like naked and I'm like holding my dick, just covering it.
What room did I just leave?
Yeah.
I don't have a key.
I don't have any fucking clue where I'm at. So I'm like, fuck. So I see the phone in the hallway and I get it and I try to call the front desk and then they're like, dude, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm staring in Murray's room. And they're like, sorry, sir. There's no
That's
Murray
not
his here.
Real name.
Yeah. So I'm like, I bang the fucking phone. I'm all pissed off. I'm like, what the fuck am I gonna do? Finally, I decide like I have to go down there and figure this out. And I'm naked, so I get into the fucking like elevator, and there's people in there. I'm just naked. They're like, oh, like everyone's gasping.
I know this is Hollywood, yeah. But jeez.
And I'm covering my ass and my asshole and my balls with my hands. And I walk out into the fucking lobby. There's people like getting pancakes and shit. And I'm like, hey, I'm staying up. They're like, sir, like, what are you doing? Like,
dude, just grab a curtain. Yeah, yeah. At that point. Yeah.
They're flipping out like, sir, you cannot be here naked like this. I'm like, but I'm staying in Murray's room. If you tell me what room it is, I can go back to my room.
Who the fuck is Murray?
Yeah, they don't know Murray. They're typing in Murray last name, Murray first name. They're like, no, there's no one named Murray.
That's his like nickname that someone came up with on court.
Yeah. So then they take me down to the fucking, what do you call it? The lost and found room. Mm-hmm. And they bring me in there and there's nothing in there.
Let's at least get you some pants, man.
Yeah. There's nothing in there but a belly shirt and these nut hugging shorts. And I put this on and they have a size 7 Nike that like my foot doesn't fit in. So I'm just like walking on it like high heels and like my nuts like hanging out of the pants still and a belly shirt. And I just remember I'm sitting up there like just all fuming, like angry, like, I fucking had it. Like, I know that he's staying here and you guys are not fucking letting me into my room. And I just remember like sitting on this couch and you come down and go, Rab? What the fuck are you wearing? And I'm like, fuck. Like, I'm like, yo, dude, where the fuck? What is Murray? And you're like, no, that's not his real name. What is his real name? I still don't
Rob
know.
Valino.
Rob Valino, yeah.
You would have never guessed that in a million years.
Like, never would have fucking
known. John Smith, Mike Adams, I don't know.
Yeah, not Rob Valino. I still, to this day, didn't know what his actual name is. I thought it was Bob or something, but yeah. I thought it was like Bob Finkelstein or something. I didn't know what the fuck it was. And then I remember you telling me that and being like, dude, how the fuck would I have ever figured that out? And that's why I'm sitting on the couch in the standard, like with my nuts hanging out.
I don't know if that beats your other Viper Room story, though.
Yeah, the other fucking Viper Room.
Oh, man.
God
damn. I feel like we played the Viper like so many times for like parties, like, you know, magazine party.
Yeah.
But yeah, what was the one was like, Maxim magazine or something like that.
And there was all these people there, like, because I remember it was like the band was signed to Island Def Jam, Jackass was out, and like you're starting to get some recognition for everything. And like I remember Drew Carey was there, and there was like people that were like big time names of famous people, and like I just had this attitude of like, fuck them. Yeah. Fuck this shit.
And
like,
if it's a private party, it's usually an open bar, which is never good for any
of
us.
And exactly. And the reason I said, like, I had this attitude of, like, oh, I'm not impressed by celebrity thing. And because I remember because Bam came over and I was drinking fucking hard. Mm. And Bam's like, dude, Rab, like, fuck, you should maybe slow down, dude. Like, you know, like, don't embarrass yourself. There's a bunch of people here in this. Yeah. And I was like, fuck you. Yeah. You know, like, I remember.
I don't give a shit about Drew Carey. You're a stupid show.
Yeah. And it was this attitude. I had this fuck off attitude. So I fucking just kept drinking hard. And I remember falling down the steps at the Viper Room, like into that like little basement bar.
And then we looked for you for hours. We're like, where could he have gone? Like, there's only a certain amount of places on the Sunset Strip that he would go to, you know?
Yeah. Well,
you
were
nowhere.
Well, apparently I got kicked out because I fell down the steps drunk. And then I guess the bouncers were like, dude, you got to go. And I don't remember, but I woke up in a parking garage underneath a bunch of red rolled up carpets, like these red carpet things. And I was like, what the fuck? So I woke up like in there, dude. And that was like, huh? What? Holy fuck.
You're you know, like, in a carpet?
Yeah. I'm like rolled up in it.
It's like, am I buried alive? What is this? Yeah.
That's what it felt like. And I like shimmied my ass out of it.
I love that you were so hammered that you thought, oh, I'll just climb into this. This looks amazing.
Yeah. Because that's what I had to put together was like, what the fuck was I? Like, how did I get here? I remember I got out and I go, all right, like, I got my wallet and my asshole isn't ripped apart. So, like, I wasn't robbed and I wasn't raped. Like, I guess I'm
so
good.
So at least I have that going for me.
Yeah. The life is good on that front. But I had to take a serious shit. So I was like, and I was like annoyed by the, because I thought the night before, like, the celebrity thing was annoying. Then I see these red carpets. I was like, it's so fucking annoying, this pretentious shit. And I see this Mercedes right there. And I was like, fuck this fucking Mercedes. So I get up on top of it, pull pants down, full fucking runny shit down the front of the windshield, shit all over this brand new crisp Mercedes, and like I'm stomping on it with my fucking shoes, rip the shoe off, and then sacrifice a sock and wipe my asshole, and then throw it on top of the turd, and like, but it's like this runny ass turd, and I remember getting out of there and being like, I don't know where the fuck I even am.
I wonder if that guy moved like recently, like right after, like LA isn't for me.
Yeah, fuck this, man. These fucking like Skid Row bums shitting on my car. Meanwhile, it's just my fucking dirty ass shitting on it. But I remember walking out and not knowing where the fuck I was. And then I walked out of the alley and I figured out, oh shit, there's the Viper room. So I somehow stumbled into that parking garage. And then I guess.
And we're staying in Orange County.
Yeah.
So you had to get like a $200 cab ride.
Dude, yeah. This was like back in the time too when there was like, I don't think I had a cell phone. So I had to collect call, or my cell phone was dead if we even had one. I had to collect call my brother to figure out where Darren lived and then go, what the fuck? And so I took a cab ride down from Viper Room to Orange County to get there.
Right.
And I remember coming in and being like, fuck you guys for fucking leaving. And you guys were all like, fuck you, dude. We were looking for you all fucking night.
Worried like, sick. What happened to him?
So it immediately turned and I was like, oh, I guess I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
You know?
Fuck us. Fuck you.
So, dude, I mean, so many times like that on the tours of CKY that, like, that you just end up, like, I just remember I'll get in cars with strangers and go to random other places and be like, how the fuck did I end up here? And what the hell? And I remember people were like, oh, I never knew it was that bad, Rab, like, when I got sober. And I'm like, dude, because you didn't know that I was snorting heroin with strangers in fucking random towns that you never even, like, I would just come back like, hey, what's up, guys? Everything's good.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I just went on some random bender with some fucking stranger that I don't even know and did a bunch of stupid drugs. And, like, because if I start drinking, random shit will happen.
Oh, yeah, you end up in somebody's car at somebody's house party. And,
and you don't know. And like, I remember there's just so many fucking insane stories of shit like that. But yeah, we had this one where I ended up in a random thing and I slept with some girl with, I had cocaine on my dick, but somehow could get a boner and it was in her ass and then her ass was all tingly. Then I had sex with this other girl right after that. And like, and then my buddy was like, oh, that's called a Western Union, because like an ATM was like the ass to mouth and he called the Western Union an ass to someone else's mouth. like you're just
Western Union.
It's like you're just fucking transferring money to someone else's fucking mouth. It's so sick, this fucking tingle butt cocaine lady. But dude, yeah, so many of those like random tour stories.
Oh yeah, I mean, I by no means had my shit together, but
yeah,
whenever I would go drinking with you, like I remember one time we woke up in a different state.
Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck? How did we get there?
Yeah.
And
it's like, that's the craziest thing, waking up in someone's house that you've never met and you're not even in your state anymore.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because I remember being at college and like that would happen and people were like, oh my God, like I woke up at the rugby house. I don't even know what that. I'm like, I woke up in fucking,
Delaware.
Yeah. Like, how the fuck did it end up being that? But it would, you know?
Yeah.
And, dude, so many fucking good times. Like, just even thinking about it, I thought about that fucking food fight in England.
Oh, yeah.
Remember,
oh,
like,
God, dude.
That was like a fucking $50,000 food fight or some
shit. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
It was Kerrang, was it?
I'll try and do a long story short. So,
yeah.
So, basically, when we signed with Island, you know, our main thing was like, hey, we want to get over to Europe, you know, we can only tour the States so many times. And they were like, oh, you guys don't even have albums over there. Like, it'll be a waste of your time, blah, blah, blah. But little did they know, we're all over like skate videos and TV and stuff. So we sold out they booked us in London in like a 700 cap room, and it sold out in like seconds.
Yeah.
So then they moved us to like the Forum, which is like 3,000 cap, and that sold out in an hour.
Yeah.
So then Mercury Records, which is like island in Europe, was like, oh my God. Like, then it led into this huge tour. They were trying to like really butter us up so we would sign with Mercury because we didn't have to. So yeah, they got us like the crazy suite, you know, at this hotel. And of course, we were all hammered and God knows what else.
And random mushrooms, because like some point somebody's like, oh, I found this bag of mushrooms.
Yeah, we're in Camden in London. Right. You can get whatever. So we were just partying in this suite and we had like nine people. I just remember someone counted nine. So we just ordered, can I get nine of like everything? And they brought it.
Yeah, I remember
nine burgers, nine pizzas, nine Diet Cokes, nine desserts, nine. Yeah,
and it was like filtering in. Like there was just like busboy after busboy bringing shit in with like these like nice platters of whatever. It was like, oh my God.
So you know, somebody ate half of one of the nine burgers and half of one of the nine pizzas, and then it just turned into this massive food fight. And Mercury Records had to pay the bill. It was like they had to repaint, recarpet.
The whole room was fucking covered,
dude. Yeah. I mean, we were just like, that's what happens.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you have a bunch of fucking rock stars in a goddamn hotel room. That shit gets ruined.
And you know, back then that was nothing, man. Like people bought records back then.
So yeah.
$50,000 for a hotel room was just like, hey, they were partying. You
know? Yeah, exactly. Dude, fuck. I mean, that's crazy. Mm. So I wanted to talk a little bit about like your side projects to CKY. Mm-hmm. Viking Skull, the company band, you know, I mean, I feel like it goes on and on. Like you do so many different side projects.
Yeah. I like to, you know, experiment with, I like to get outside my comfort zone.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Like there's certain bands that I do that are totally my comfort zone. And then there's no fun in that. Like I want to play different styles. Like I want to do stuff that my other band wouldn't call for, you know, kind of thing. So Viking Skull, that's a funny story. I was a huge fan of those guys. Actually, the first time I went to England ever, which was the same
trip,
the hotel night, first time in England, I turned on MTV and the first video I see is Viking Skull, and I was like, whoa, this is awesome. You know, who the hell are these guys? And then I went to the Crowbar in London. And then again, the Crowbar, if you've ever been to London, the Crowbar is the best bar ever. Like just a rock and roll bar. So much history. Like I even heard a rumor that last time Foo Fighters played Wembley Stadium. I guess when you get to that level.
Yeah.
You basically, they're like, what do you want your dressing room to be? Like, you could send them a picture of anything, your living room, blah, 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 and they have to recreate it.
Yeah.
So Grohl recreated the Crowbar.
Oh, damn. That's
so the backstage
awesome.
Of Wembley was just the Crowbar, too.
Hell yeah.
And this place is just amazing. And the jukebox is like something, you know, Karma to Burnt, like just cool rock bands in there. So Viking Skull comes on at the Crowbar and the whole place goes nuts. And I was like, again, who is this? Like, So I went and bought the record and I really liked it. And then the next time we went out to Europe, I just told our booking agent, like, whatever you do, you got to get this band Viking Skull to open. So we were in Germany or something like that. And I could tell they were having a really rough time on tour because we probably weren't paying them shit, you know? And they were on this label called Grand Union. And, you know, they were like, here's a van and $20 for each of you, you know?
Yeah.
And so they were just having a really rough tour, but I was a huge fan and I hated to see them bumming. And so we were in Germany and this amazing, like, German pub outside the place we were playing. I forget what town it was. And we just went for it. I was like, come on, boys. You know, drinks are on me. Like, let's have a good time. Like, you guys look like you're bumming. And so just total debauchery, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the night, in my stupid head, I was like, oh, and here's a bottle of absinthe for you boys. good partying with you. So they retire to their van with a bottle of absinthe. I stay in the bar. They're open until like 4. I come out at 4, and I just walk out to them all fist fighting in the parking lot.
Cutting their fucking ears off. Yeah.
Vincent Van Gogh cutting each other, whatever the hell, man. And I just walked out. I was like, I didn't mean for this to happen.
No, this is no good.
I just wanted you guys to have a good time, and I didn't know it would lead to this. And, you know, so the next couple gigs were rough. You could tell they weren't on speaking terms.
Oh, man.
They were playing amazing still, but, like, they didn't make eye contact with each other on stage at all. So the tour wrapped up, and I called the singer, Roddy, and I was like, hey, man, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean for all that drama to go down. He's like, oh, mate, it's fine. We fight all the time. It is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, sure. Fly back home. First thing I do, like, go on Blabbermouth or something. It's like, Viking Skull splits up. I was like, oh, fantastic.
So the absinthe really let their true feelings come out.
Yeah. So, you know, I call him. I was like, dude, but you said. He's like, oh, yeah, it was building up. You know, there's a lot of tension, and it just all boiled over that night. And I was like, well, I feel like I had something to do with it.
I love that you're just Don Knotts. Like, whoa,
yeah, just turned into Mr. Furley, basically. And so I was like, all right, who left? Gordon, the drummer, blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right, I'm playing drums on the next one. I feel bad. And I kind of left it as like an empty invitation because CKY was just so busy. Like, I had no time to be doing anything like that. Extracurricular.
So they were asking you to maybe fill in for drums at that point?
I was like, cool. Yeah, man, totally. Like, because he's like, we have this new killer album, and like, I'm not ready to break the band up yet. Like, our best stuff we just wrote. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, send me the demos, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm kind of thinking, like, yeah, maybe I'll get to it at some point, but probably not.
Yeah.
And then they sent me that song, Black and Sunrise, and I was just like, oh my God, I have to play that. Yeah, like,
fuck yeah.
It's like just a perfect melting pot of Motorhead, Iron Maiden, and AC/DC and Sabbath, you know? It's just like, there's no way I cannot not play on this.
Yeah. Dude, that's rad.
Yeah.
So that was what you were like, okay, and then you went out and played shows with him, or?
Yeah,
or?
Well, I flew him here.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I had no time to be jetting off to UK to do an album, so they came to me, thankfully, and then Bam put the record out on his label, Filthy Note.
Yeah.
And it did really good, and I did a bunch of tours with them, did a couple of albums after that, and so that's how that started. They're not really doing much now, though. Waldy, the bass player, moved to Australia. So.
Oh, he did.
That makes band practice kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
<He's... laughs> Sit in a chair in the sky for a day to get to us.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, Waldy's on the Meme Team Extreme, where we always send those things back and forth on Instagram. Yeah. And it's fucking hilarious. Okay, cool. So you also, you have another band, The Company Band.
Yeah, that happened... after CKY broke up the first time.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm just sitting on my porch bumming.
Yeah.
I had some beer courage going on. And I'm just looking through my phone like, now what am I going to do? So I just, in my head, like with my beer courage, I'm like, I'm going to call Brad from Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
And Neil from Clutch. And like basically my dream team of like players.
Yeah, for real.
Fireball Jim, you know, like.
Dude.
And I just called him up like, dudes, we need to jam. And, like, it was that simple. And they're like, yeah, when?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, and it's so, I mean, it's so awesome, like, because I got to watch you guys jam, you know, and kind of, like, just playing together, because you did a couple shows.
Our first ever thing we ever did was after Bam's wedding.
Yeah.
Here, in the Hobbit Hole.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was like trading songs back and forth through MP3 files, and then finally... it was just like unrealistic with Clutch's touring schedule and Fu Manchu and Fireball and CK. Well, not CKY's broke up at that point, but
yeah, and everybody's schedules were just crazy. So yeah.
So then it was all like, okay, Fireball Jim is marrying Bam because he's a reverend.
Yeah.
Niels and Marilyn, he said he's coming up.
Dude, I feel like that was like the beginning of this new age band thing where you're like, you're all over the place, but creating this band through like technology.
That's the beauty of, you know, like say what you want about the internet, it has its ups and downs, but like when you could just trade song ideas back and forth, like
yeah,
in your pajama pants, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, fuck yeah, that is awesome.
That's the only way that album could have come together, you know.
Dude, and so is there still like, do you do shows at all from here and there?
Or? Company band maybe played like 6 or 7 shows total.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Again, for reasons just that everyone's schedule is
yeah.
insane.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and I know Clutch is always touring.
Oh, these guys have been touring.
God, they're the
relentlessly
best.
Since '91 or whatever.
Dude, I always talk about the story because people will ask like, hey, who's like the most famous person? Like, you know, did you ever get starstruck? And I'm like, nah, I don't give a shit. Like Ben Stiller comes to the premiere for Jackass. You're like, oh, cool. Like, I mean, I'm a fan of his, but it's like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
And you meet Adam Sandler at the MTV Awards. Hey, how's it going? And like, I was fans of all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, for some fucking reason, Neil Fallon was the guy that I was like, hey, you know, like
yeah.
just all nervous. Yeah. Like, yeah. because he has, I mean, you turned me on to Clutch when we were in middle school. You were probably 8th grade. I was 6th grade. Mm. But that was like the first time that I had heard them, and I fucking love them. You know, from your influence. Like, I mean, I learned about a ton of music from you and the comedy and all that stuff. But but like, you know, because you're like an older brother, so it was like teaching me all this, and I just saw him in a different light than like, say, you know, a Jim Carrey or something like that. Like, I was fans of those guys, but I saw him in this different light. And especially like, his fucking voice is so like powerful, and the shit that he was writing about and all this. And like, it just like, I loved it so much that when I met him, I was like nervous, you know, just like, hey, nice to meet you. Like, and you know,
sometimes I feel so dumb talking to him, 'cause he just knows, like, he just reads books all day.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
he's well informed.
Yeah,
for sure.
Sometimes he'll be talking about something, and you're like, "Yeah, totally, man." like the guy writes songs like molding like Ray Kurzweil's singularity with like, you know,
yeah,
two other things that don't go to that, but it works somehow.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah,
like it probably takes a pretty gnarly skill of like, I guess he was like a, you know, like an English major or something.
Yeah,
like, he's just really knows his shit when he comes to writing songs. And
yeah, and that's awesome.
I'm waiting for his book. Like, if he ever writes a goddamn book,
yeah,
like,
hell yeah. Yeah, dude, I'd love to read that, dude. And it, I mean, but it was so cool to be kind of like another fan of that. Like I said in the beginning, in the basement with CKY,
how do you think I felt, dude? I was in this hobbit hole jamming with these guys, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening right now.
Yeah, you're like with all these people that you just look up to and respect, and
totally.
And I got to sit on the sidelines and listen to you in the basement or in the hobbit hole playing, and I'm like, fuck, this is amazing to be just like a fly on the wall in this scenario.
Well, one of those guys compliments you, you know, like I don't know how to react. Like, I'm like, shut up. Like, no, that fill that you just did, that was sick. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. You're all blushing. Yeah.
Yeah, like,
yeah, dude.
Yeah, I don't know whether it'd be like, oh, thanks. Or like, fuck off.
Yeah,
man.
You gotta play cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fuck. So, okay. So, then, you know, after the company band and doing those projects, I mean, like, if you haven't heard those albums, you got to go out and get those. There's an EP and an LP, and fuck, they're amazing.
Thanks, man.
I always go on like El Dorado, that song. Like, I mean, I love all there's a ton of songs, but for some reason that song has this thing. Like, if I haven't listened to you guys in a while, that song brings me back in.
Pros and cons, for some reason, the last one was like a little overshadowed by the full length or something, but
yeah,
Pros and Cons definitely has like its moments of just radness. Like,
yeah,
it's so funny. Like, you know, the first song, House of Capricorn, I'm like, you know, I'll just shoot the shit. Like, what, you know, where'd you get that? Like, it's always some book that he read, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
Oh, Jess, it's basically like a rehab for forgotten gods, and that song's like orientation. And like,
God, that's cool. Awesome.
And then, like, dude, it has the best line ever. Like, it's one of my favorite lyrics ever. Like, there's on the second verse, it's like, your opinion means so much to us. Please let us know how you feel we've been doing. And once you've enjoyed what you don't understand, tell us what needs improvement. Like, that just shuts down every, like, keyboard warrior on Facebook
or
whatever.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, I always get such a kick out of that. Like, going, you know, on YouTube or Amazon, sometimes I read the reviews and it's like, some 14-year-old kid in Kansas critiquing the production of The Wall, you know? Like,
yeah, right, right.
Yeah, like, one of the best albums ever, like, produced amazingly. And they're like, I think the snare has a little too much EQ on it. Like,
oh,
it's like,
fuck.
Oh, cool. Glad to hear your opinion, kid from Wichita that
yeah.
just got GarageBand yesterday.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
Dude, I love, yeah, I mean, his lyrics are incredible. And yeah, go out and listen to that if you haven't listened to that, The Company Band. Fuck, all of those songs are so good. But
thanks, man.
But dude, so then I wanted to talk a little bit now because, like, I mean, I just luckily caught you today because you're in between legs of the tour that you're on right now with CKY, and you guys are
we've been touring our asses off.
Yeah, for real. Like, I mean, I saw you at Warped Tour, and then I missed you in LA. You were just in LA, but I was in Haiti while you guys were in LA. I was hoping to catch that show, but now you've been off the road, maybe just for a little turkey day to be able to be home.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, and then. You're out tomorrow going to Ireland and playing a bunch of shows all over.
This one's pretty quick. It's like 2 weeks. Starts in Ireland. I'm doing Dublin and Belfast and then Scotland, England, and then it ends in Amsterdam.
Dude, hell yeah. That's a good way to end it. Fuck.
Sure.
That just reminded me of when we were in Amsterdam. We ate all those mushrooms and then we
went
to that
Kel
tranny.
Was there.
Yeah, we went to that tranny show the next day. It's a different day tonight, or it's a different show tonight,
man.
Folks. And
we
were like, what?
That was a night for the books, man.
Oh. Fuck.
I think I went ring shopping after that.
Oh, like, yeah. Like, I got to marry
Kel
this
was
lady.
Just on fire all night. Like, I was just like, this chick is awesome.
Yeah, like if she's into this way. Because I remember it was like, we took mushrooms, so we were like wandering around.
As you do in Amsterdam.
Yeah, wandering around Amsterdam, hallucinating. And then you go in.
Everything was funny, like everything.
Yeah, fucking hilarious. And I remember, so we went to the place that you played the night before. CKY played there the night before.
Which was like a really cool rock club, dingy kind of, you know, bar. And then, we go back the next night. Hey, we had fun at that place. Let's go back.
Yeah.
And then this like man
yes a man
Steve Buscemi in a dress am I accurate
yeah,
with that
yeah. dead on the teeth exactly
with way too much makeup like picture like Steve Buscemi when he's putting the makeup on and Billy Madison or whatever the lipstick
like the kill list or whatever
and we're on mushrooms and this guy answers he's the doorman and we're just like what's going on tonight in here? And we just look in and it was just like total RuPaul drag night.
Dude, I know. And you couldn't tell like, am I just hallucinating or is this like a bunch of dudes in drag?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, different night tonight, honey.
Yeah, I'm like, we just played here last night, man. What's, is this the same? He's like, oh, you played here last night? Yeah, it's a different kind of night tonight. We just all fell on our backs laughing so hard at that.
Yeah.
He was probably ready to call the police.
Oh, man. Fuck. As I know, as we're like touching the walls and weird fucking, God, just tripping. But yeah, dude. So, okay. So you end the tour in Amsterdam and that's rad. And you just did... Phil Margera just did he was Santa Claus on Black Friday.
Oh yeah, that was fun, man.
Because you guys were you had your new EP out.
Yeah, we just did a new EP that came out on Record Store Day, Black Friday, and the record store in Westchester, which I'm fortunate we still have like two record stores.
Yeah.
Not every town can say that.
and it's called Too Precious to Kill.
Yeah, Too Precious to Kill.
Too Precious to Kill. You got to check it out. Is it on iTunes?
It's a lyric from one of the songs.
Yeah. Is it on iTunes or is it just only available?
Yeah, it's vinyl with a download card. And
okay.
There's like Record Store Day doesn't let you put it on Spotify or iTunes for like another month or something.
Okay, but it will come out eventually. On
like in a month or something. Like
okay, that. Yeah. And right now, can you still order? Or is it all sold out?
It's on a couple different. I saw it on Amoeba's website. We have it on cky.bigcartel.com.
Okay,
that's like our official merch store.
Nice, so you can get it there. Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah, dude. Well, you just gave me a copy of it, and I'm psyched to listen to it.
Yeah, we recorded it right here.
Hell yeah, here in the Hobbit Hole.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so we're in the little recording spot that the CKY just made their new fucking EP.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah, mm-hmm. Dude. Well, it's been awesome sitting down with you and
hell
chatting.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
And yeah, good luck on the rest of your tour. I'm sure it's going to be
fucking
awesome.
Come back for Christmas. Let's do a thing.
Let's do a thing. Try not to show up to any tranny parties in Amsterdam at the end of the...
it's tempting, but yeah, I don't know.
Hell yeah. Well, thanks, dude. Thanks for being on the Bathroom Break Podcast.
Yeah, man.
Hell
absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.